maybe.
Yeah, but you were talking about, I mean, you know, what was coming up in some of the classes was this business of, even if the subject matter is sort of understood, it becomes really meaningful when there's purusharth anishcha.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes what happens, instead of intellectual pleasure, are you studying philosophy, the so-called philosophy, I mean, on the shastram? I like to use the word shastram, okay? And of course, shastram, because it deals with the nature of the reality, and we also call it, okay, the nature of the truth, and we call it philosophy. Because philosophy means people do so many PhDs, everybody is in different subject matters, different things. They get PhD means, you know, doctor philosophy, and anybody is a philosophy. But here actually philosophy, when you say, people have given different views of the truth. It's not even the views or the contentions of the truth, it's the very fact. Because when you say fact, it is a verifiable thing. Verifiable nature of the reality, no, is the fact. No? That is the study of pursuit of knowledge. And here it's a sort of intellectual pleasure when you do something, when something know, understand. Are you pursuing this knowledge for intellectual pleasure or for really for some solving some problem? You know? And really one should understand one's own problems. So understanding of problem is very important, first of all. Everyone has problem, but nobody sees the problem. That is why seeing the problem is very important. Seeing the problem means you should know basically all the emotional problems. I don't talk about the physical, okay? Physical ones are very natural, then we can manage it. We can, even if something we cannot manage, and then we know how to take it. No, but all the emotional problems are basically centered on, you know, basically because of the smallness centered on I. If you see this problem, the smallness centered on I is the root cause of all the emotional problems one has in life. That is why the sense of being small, you know, one has to free oneself from the sense of being small, freedom from the sense of smallness, sense. And for which really this knowledge is the means, no other way. This knowledge of the truth is the only solution for this. We have to understand. That is why with reference to this particular thing, and there is nobody who is superior, nobody who is inferior. Every human being is subject to this. Now, that is why it is the only means. And we are, and do we have any choice about pursuing, you know, about it? There is no choice. And purushartha nischeha, I've been talking about this, purushartha nischeha, you know, being definite about one's ultimate end being moksha. Again, moksha is a very, very important thing to be understood. I explained many times in the class, moksha, even though the word moksha means freedom, and freedom from what should be very, very clear. Freedom from the sense of being small. Freedom from, no, sense of this being small, and freedom from being wanting person. No, freedom from all limitations. Freedom from the sense of being bound. There's no real bondage. Sense of being bound. And that freedom is a choice. That is what freedom from, the freedom from the sense of being small. He is really speaking freedom from all unhappiness, freedom from being unhappy, freedom from sorrow. There are many different things actually. Now you are seeking, always you are seeking freedom from sorrow, even if you are not sorrowful. We don't know that. We are seeking freedom from being sorrowful, freedom from unhappiness. That means you are seeking freedom from the sense of being small. There are two different things, and this is the choiceless. This is the ultimate thing through all our pursuits. That does not mean that you should stop pursuing other things. In fact, nothing can stop pursuing other things. Nothing can stop you from pursuing other things. Other things means all artha, kama, dharma. Because they're all, everything is important in life. It is foolish to say, oh, you are pursuing knowledge, you have to give up other pursuits. That's not true. That means they have understood what moksha is all about, what knowledge is all about. If somebody says you have to pursue knowledge, so you have to give up other pursuits, you have to deprive yourself of other pleasures, if they say, they are wrong. Because giving up of other pursuits will not help you accomplish knowledge. Or pursuit of other pursuits also not help you attain moksha. Because, understand, you need to do everything. If you are hungry, you have to eat. If you are thirsty, you have to drink. So eating food does not stop you, you know, from drinking water if you are not thirsty. If you are thirsty, you can drink. If not, you can leave it. Similarly, pursuit of knowledge doesn't stop you from anything else. Should not stop you, in fact. So Shastram teaches very clearly. See, this is what they somehow people have got very, very wrong understanding. Spiritual secrets means you have to be different. And then mundane, people who are interested in mundane things are different. That's not true. Every mundane person who is given to any mundane pleasure, worldly things, is basically everybody is a seeker. One has to recognize oneself being helplessly a seeker. Choicelessly a seeker, actually. This is just a big awakening, understanding, you know. Moksha is my choiceless end. What choice do I have? I had to free myself from being unhappy, becoming unhappy also. I had to free myself from, you know, not getting affected, free myself from getting affected by day-to-day things, happenings. Things won't be the same. Situations will be changing. Things will be changing. But how am I responding to them? How am I reacting to them? How do they keep me? Do the situations keep me in good humor? Do they affect me? I can't remain like a stone. At the same time, I can't get allow myself to be affected. That means I had to be responding intelligently, acting contributively, constructively. What should I do for that? What is that which will keep me? Now, and basically, if you analyze, what is that? Everything can be boiled down to one thing. This is smallness centered on I. The smallness centered on I means when I say even the fear of death. Now, I'm going to die one day. I'm a mortal. People even who are ready to die also ask them, really speaking, are they ready to die? People say, I'm ready to die anytime. Or your thinking must have been totally robbed away by some brainwashing, then you can become a suicide bomb. Otherwise, it is very difficult. No thinking mind can really, you know, say that, and I'm not scared of death. A jnani can say, because the fact about this, the change which is happening in every life that is called death. There is, because when you are very young, you don't want to think of that. As you get old, slowly we'll think. And it's too late by the time you start thinking to understand the facts. Too late, because you become too dull to understand, appreciate subtle facts. That is why this is to be something to be understood from the very beginning. The fact is, so the fear of death is very naturally there. And Shastram says this beautifully, you know, the fear of death. There is something, the very, very phenomenon called fear. This fear is a desirable fear. Let it be fear of death or fear caused by anything. The fear, anxiety, insecure feeling, all these different differences and a slight difference. Now, what is insecurity? Everyone is basically insecure. Helplessly insecure. We want to be insecure. Now, I don't want to be insecure. I want to be. There's no such thing called want to be. I don't want to be. We are insecure. That is a fact. By birth, every human being is insecure. What Shastram tells, you are insecure. No, because there's insecure means what? There's a sense of being insecure. Okay, there is a sense of being insecure. You're not really insecure, because you are a sense of being insecure, and you're helpless. Now that you choose to become insecure, choose to be insecure, there's no choice about it. We are born with this sense of being insecure. Okay, there is sense of insecurity, and then there is this. That is why there's a fear. Basically, there's a fear. The phenomenon called a fear is naturally there. And the fear, you know, is really not desirable state. It's a really troubling thing, very pain. Fear is pain. And that fear alone really, you know, like it crops up in different forms. That fear. And this fear also is because of what? Because that's why I taught you Mrityunjaya Mantra. Now that fear is again basically, is all the fear, the insecurity, you know, and all other, then the desire, all these things, different start disturbances, all these things are possible because of this smallness centered on I. The fear itself is what? Smallness means what? I am small in terms of even, I am small in terms of, when you say the time-wise, I am limited. When you say time-wise, I am limited means because this identity is with the wrong thing. Time-bound thing. You are all helpless. That's why we are born ignorant and we are born with these things. And Shastram says this has to be, that's why the fact, truth has to be understood. So I need, the moksha is not, I don't have any choice about seeking moksha, okay? You're already a seeker of moksha. And when one has to understand, I am seeking moksha. What I really ultimately seeking through all the things is, you know, moksha only. You may say, you may not like the word moksha. Why people don't like the word moksha? Because moksha literally means liberation of the soul. The soul getting liberated. Freedom from mind. Then just a liberation of soul means they think, oh, something very frightening. That's why people don't like it, that concept. No, I'm not seeking moksha, okay? I'm not seeking moksha. If you are, do you want to be happy or not? Just say. Do you want to be happy or not? Do you want to be happy or do you want to be unhappy? These are the two questions. Okay? Do you want to be happy or do you want to be unhappy? If you say, I don't mind being unhappy, then I won't talk to you at all. And if you say, I want to be happy, then that is what is called moksha. I want to be happy when you say, you understand you are a seeker of moksha. Some people say, we want peace. What does it mean? I want to be peaceful. I want to be quiet and relaxed. I want to be calm. I want to be quiet. We use different words. All those words express what? Imply what? You are being a seeker. Seeker means you want freedom. You are seeking freedom from the unwanted, that is unhappiness, that is moksha. That is why we say, and even though we use the word freedom, that freedom really means, you know, freedom from unwanted means freedom from unhappiness. And freedom from unhappiness implies you are wanting happiness. Therefore, moksha indirectly implies what? Not directly. Okay, directly it means freedom from unhappiness. Freedom from the unwanted, undesirable. Nobody wants freedom from something desirable. Therefore, unwanted, unhappiness, sorrow, when you say, that implies happiness. Therefore, moksha directly implies what? Happiness. And then we say that happiness, what you are seeking, happiness means what? That which should, you know, which will last forever. Again, happiness is something to be understood. We say, I was unhappy today, I am happy, tomorrow I will be unhappy. Having, you know, if you attain happiness, there's possibility of losing that happiness also. Anything attained has the possibility of getting lost. Definitely, you may lose it. What anything attained can be lost. And do you want to attain happiness, which can be lost later on? Nobody wants. We are getting money. We can lose it. It's subject to get lost. We can lose it easily. But we want something. We want happiness, which should not be lost. Which should be kept for. Which should be there forever. Everlasting happiness we want. If it has to be everlasting, definitely it should not be something which can be attained. It must be already there. Okay, this is what the logic we say. If it is so, then that happiness is not something to be attained, something to be understood. Okay, if it is something to be understood, and how can I understand? To understand, I should know where is it available. Then where is available? It is not available elsewhere. How is it available? Shastram tells you. Happiness is not a state of mind. Happiness is a synonym of the word limitlessness. It explains what is unhappiness. Being unhappy means, unhappiness means what? When is it sorrow? When you think you are the body, you are the mind, you are the senses, you are all these things. When you take yourself for a limited being, unhappiness is there. Therefore, being limited is being bound, and being bound is being unhappy. Therefore, being limitless is what? Being happy. Therefore, limitlessness is happiness. That is why understanding limitlessness is understanding happiness. Therefore, Shastram says, happiness is something to be understood as the nature of the reality. So, knowing what the reality is knowing what happiness is. They are not two different things. That the connection then. Okay, if moksha is the choiceless end, through all my arthakama dharma I pursue, really all that I want to seek is moksha means, and I know, then this is the, where I understand sadhana sadhya sambandha. Sadhyam is what is to be choicelessly accomplished. Choicelessly attained is moksha. Okay? And if it is a choiceless accomplishment, then definitely the means for accomplishment is what? This jnanam, knowledge. Knowledge of the reality. And knowledge of the reality means reality of the whole is knowledge of the self. Therefore, knowledge of the self is equal to knowledge of the reality of the entirety. And knowledge of the reality of the entirety is equal to the knowledge of moksha, knowledge of happiness, limitlessness. And which is accomplishment of moksha. Therefore, they are all synonyms now. This is why we have to understand the choicelessness. Once we know the choicelessness of moksha, in the ultimate end, then nobody needs to push you to study shastram. Nobody needs to push you to pursue knowledge. You will be naturally inclined. You only need the buddhi. And second thing, we don't need to really take it seriously. Study of the Shastra should not make one feel burdened or heavy. Oh my God, I have to understand this. It's too heavy. No. Once you start understanding, it should be very, very simple and nice and smooth. See, the study of the Shastra will keep you, help you keep going, live your life, day-to-day life smoothly, with certain understanding, with certain attitude, accommodative capacity, tolerance and all that, forbearance. It will give you the strength to live your day-to-day life. It will also help you to grow and to get the knowledge also, to have the vision also. That is the real study. That's why people want, we want to finish in two years course, 3 years course, 4 years course. It has to be studied, pursued. That's why don't be in a hurry. If you understand something, some clarity dawns, that is a step on achievement. Some more clarity dawns, this is an achievement. Degree of clarity increases, enhances, that's fine. You keep on slowly, you can keep on studying. is good. That is why people have to understand the connection between the end must be very clear, moksha being the ultimate choiceless end, must be very clear. Then the knowledge and moksha being identical should be very, knowledge of the self and knowledge of the reality and moksha being identical should be very clear. Now, then shastra, subject matter of the shastram being the, mirror, reflecting, being the means for this knowledge also should be very clear. Connection. I don't need shastra, I don't need to study that, and I can simply sit in meditation, I can simply observe my mind, I can observe my thoughts. Many people want to overnight jump everything, leap. Okay? Don't stay, don't go step by step. Leap from here to that place. I have the leaping capacity to leap. Why can't I leap? Physically, you may have the capacity to leap, but not in terms of the shastra business, okay? I don't want to do all these things difficult, okay? I don't want to do anything, but I want to be always, there's a technique which will help me to be in stillness. I just want some practice, some meditative technique I want to practice, and then that gives me some kick, I can stay there forever. I tell you that ignorance will continue to be there. Mere practice that will not take you 1 inch elsewhere from where you are. You can be consciously sleeping. That's a very, that means in all these things would have been waste. Even the very word meditation, how did they get? Where did they get this idea of meditation? I went to all the people I met, different groups of people. Every people are crazy. In the meditation, where did they get this idea first of all? Anyway, basically this, even this focus, attention, all these things have been there. Upanishadic concepts. Anyway.